In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, wonderful God, come. Inspire me. Inspire me for this beautiful chapter of St. John, the sixth chapter. I need your inspiration. Listen to this now. This Jesus said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." In other words, they filled their bellies, and they didn't realize that the miracle pointed to Jesus. They didn't realize, or if they realized that they wanted to make him a king, they wanted to make him a king. They're all mixed up. "Labor not for the food that perishes, but for that food that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you." That's his body and blood. "For on the Son of Man hath God set his seal," has the Father set the seal of the glory, the seal of the Holy Spirit on the Son of Man. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," remember, "and the Spirit of God came upon him." This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then they said unto Jesus, "What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" What shall we do? We want to know what works we have to do in order to enter into eternal life. What works must we do? What work must we do? Jesus said unto them, "This is the work of God, singular, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." This is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus, that the Father sent the Son into the world as the Savior of the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus. The judgment is this, that the light, Jesus, has come into the world, but people have preferred darkness. And they said therefore unto him, "What sign do you show us that we may believe you? What work do you do?" My gosh, they have just seen the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. They just saw and ate their fill, and 12 baskets were collected. And now they're questioning Jesus. "What are you going to do that we could believe in you?" You see, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ could have stood on his head. These people already made up their minds. Listen to what it says. "Our fathers did eat manna." Manna means what is it? "Our fathers did eat what is it in the desert? As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." In other words, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father, the Heavenly Father, has given you the true bread from heaven. And they're thinking that they were in the desert 40 years and God provided every single day. They're thinking that it came from heaven. But Jesus said it didn't come from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. We see that the manna in the desert was the shadow. But the substance is, Jesus said, "The bread of God is he that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." That's the bread of God. He's talking about himself. Then they said unto him, "Lord, give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus says, "I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. The person who comes to me shall never hunger. The person who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have seen me, and you don't believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and no one who comes to me shall I ever cast out. I want you to know, if you're believing in Jesus today, and he is your Savior and your Lord, the Father gave you to Jesus. Listen, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. All that the Father gives me shall come to Jesus, and him who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. He will never reject you. He will never reject you. He is not into rejection. He is into acceptance. And you are the gift of God to Jesus from the Father. I don't often feel like a gift. Sometimes I feel like a booby prize. But you know what? I'm a gift from the Father to the Son. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus tells them, I did come down from heaven, and I came down from heaven to do God's will, not my will, but the will of God. And this is the Father's will. You want to know the Father's will? Listen, who has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. All that the Father gives me, I should never lose. This is the Father's will, that all that the Father gave Jesus, he should never lose it. And that he's going to raise it up on the last day, on the glorious resurrection day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we see the will of the Father in two verses, 39 and 40. This is the will of the Lord, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me. Remember, he says, I hold you in the palm of my hands, and no one can snatch you out of my hands. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That if you see the Son and believe on him, that he is the Son of God, the eternal Son of the Father, that he is God's only begotten Son, that what Jesus is by nature, the Son of the Father, we are by grace. We are by grace the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Like this murmuring was done in the desert too, remember? They were murmuring about the manna, that they had to eat manna every single day. They had grown sick of it. They were tired of manna. They wanted some meat. So Jews murmured in the desert, and now we have the disciples of Jesus. Some of them are murmuring just like their ancestors. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? You see, they are looking with their natural eyes. They are looking with their natural eyes. This is the work of God, to believe in the one whom he has sent. They're looking not through the eyes of faith. They're looking through, we know Mary. We know Joseph. We know them. You see? And he said, let me read it again. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? No. How is it then, he says, I came down from heaven. Notice he doesn't say that he had any brothers or sisters. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draw that person to Jesus Christ. And he says, I will raise him up on the last day, the resurrection of the last day. For it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught by God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. Everyone who hears from the Father always ends up in the lap of Jesus, always ends up in believing Jesus, always ends up in believing that Jesus is the Lord. You know if anyone really has heard from the Father, because if they have heard from the Father, they believe in the Son, because the Father sent the Son as an expiation for sin. The Father sent the Son as a sacrifice for sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You see, this is what I talked to. You see, you know, the Muslims, you know, when they're in their prayer tower, in their minaret, they sing, "There is one God and he has no son." And if that's not true, that is absolutely not true. Anyone who comes to Jesus has been brought to Jesus by the Father. God has a son. His name is Yeshua. God has a son. His name is Jesus. God has a son. He was sent from heaven to redeem us from hell. God has a son. God has a son. He's always had a son from all eternity. God has always had a son from all eternity. Not that any man had seen the Father, says he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. So Jesus is saying, no one has seen the Father, but I who am from God, I have seen the Father. I have been with the Father all my being, all my life, and all before my life. I am eternally pre-eternal, not only post-eternal, but pre-eternal. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath believes in me has everlasting life. Everlasting life comes through believing in Jesus. Eternal life comes through believing in Jesus. Do we have eternal life now? Yes, we do. We do. And what tells us that we have the eternal life now? Jesus, the person who believes in me has eternal life. But also, yesterday we heard that the Holy Spirit is the price paid down for our salvation. He's the first payment of our salvation. We have not only Jesus Christ that we believe in, but we've been given the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our salvation. Your fathers did eat manna in the desert and are dead. In other words, the bread that they ate in the desert, they're dead. They're all dead. As a matter of fact, they're gone. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. That people that eat this bread that Jesus is will not die. On the night before he died, he took bread into his sacred hands. He looked up and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body given up for you. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world to come." The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world to come. Now they're thinking, how can he give us his flesh to eat? How can he give us this? This sounds like someone is into cannibalism. The bread that I shall give you is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now I'm going to talk about this. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Jesus knew what he was going to do on the Last Supper. Jesus knew that he was going to give himself to the disciples and to those who followed the disciples. He was going to give his flesh and blood for them to eat and drink. And this will be done at the Last Supper. "Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood." You see, people say that the bread of life pertains to the Word of God. Well, it can. But when you start saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not talking about the word of God. You're talking about the sacrifice. You're talking about the sacrifice of Calvary. For as often as we eat this bread, St. Paul says, and drink this cup, we proclaim, make present the death of the Lord until he comes. So this of eating the flesh and drinking the blood brings eternal life. And it's done symbolically, but symbolically, not as a symbol as we think it's symbol, but it's truly present. The symbol is truly present. Philosophically, it's truly present. The bread becomes his body, and the blood becomes his, the wine becomes his blood. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe me, check the early church fathers, those who were taught by Jesus himself and by the apostles. Check Ignatius of Antioch, how he says that he eats and drinks the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Why were the Christians persecuted? One of the reasons is because they called them cannibals. And they're not cannibals. They were eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus at the Eucharist. At the Eucharist, they were proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes in glory. Jesus left us himself until he comes again. It is the prefiguring of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will be with him forever and ever. And we would be receiving him eye to eye and heart to heart and lips to lips. We'll be seeing the Son and loving the Son. What we do now, when we eat his bread and drink his blood, we are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes, but also it is the same one that we're going to be in heaven with. It is the same one. It's not a picture of Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's what Jesus said. Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we see the raising up on the last day is believing in Jesus, because we have been given to Jesus by the Father. And those who believe in Jesus as the bread of life, we raised up on the last day. Unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will not be raised up on the last day. That's what he seems to be saying. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Remember, when you're hearing things like this, you're always hearing in the background. On the night before he died, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. And he took a cup filled with wine and he said, take and drink. For this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The one that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eats me will have life because of me, and live by me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Those who eat this bread shall live forever. This is the eternal flesh and blood of the risen Lord. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. I'm going to tell you what happened in a church. And this is very interesting, because in this church, they had a communion service, and there was extra breads that were left over. And the sacristan said to the person, the minister, what should I do with the extra bread? He says, throw them down the toilet. And you know, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit spoke to this guy. He said, throw them down the toilet. How can I throw them down the toilet? This guy became a Catholic because that minister said, throw them down the toilet. I'm telling you, my friends, when a Catholic priest celebrates the Eucharist, all that is left over is still the Eucharist, is still the Lord Jesus Christ, is still the body and blood of Christ. Just like the bread that Jesus fed the multitudes with, he says, collect the fragments, that nothing be lost, that every fragment of the Eucharist is still the Eucharist, and we place that in the tabernacle for the sick and for reverence, so they would worship the Lord. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Those that eat this bread shall live forever. These things said Jesus in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. This is the synagogue at Capernaum. It's right across the street from Peter's house. And there are still ruins of that synagogue. Whenever we go there, we proclaim this sixth chapter. Whenever we go there, we proclaim about Jesus delivering people from the demonic, because these happened in the synagogue at Capernaum. Many, therefore, his disciples, when they heard this, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? And Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that brings life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken unto you are spirit and life. And there are some of you that do not believe. Do not believe that this is truly the body of Christ, truly the blood of Christ, that we must eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ. For Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given to him by the Father. Again, if you leave, the Father did not give you Jesus to, did not give you to Jesus. If you leave, the Father did not present you as a present to Jesus. Listen to what it says in John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples left and walked no more with him. And I'm telling you, Jesus did not call them back. Jesus did not call them back. If you do not believe what I say, you are not my gift from the Father, and you do not have eternal life. Because I said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Don't you know that I don't say things I don't mean? Don't you know that everything I say, I mean? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? They left him, and Jesus did not call them back. I'm telling you, if Jesus did not mean what he said and said what he meant, I'm telling you, he would be an awful person, because the disciples were people that left mother and father and sister and brother and homes and lands and received persecutions besides. I'm telling you, if Jesus didn't mean what he said, he should have called them back. Come on, guys, come back. Don't leave. Listen to what I mean. This is just a story. No, it's no story. It is the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, that the manna in the desert is prefiguring the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. What comes down from heaven is Jesus himself. He is the bread of life. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And from that time, many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with Jesus. They walked no more with Jesus. Listen to this. And they said unto the, Jesus said unto the 12, will you too go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that would betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus Christ meant what he said and said what he meant. I remember being under a tent proclaiming the gospel of the Lord, and I proclaimed evangelism, and I proclaimed the Holy Spirit, and I proclaimed that we are to live faith works through love. And then when I proclaimed the Eucharist, that this is truly the body of Christ, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. People started to leave the tent, and I hollered like Jesus, will you too go? And you know, there was a young man that left. He was so angry. He said, I'm going to prove him wrong. He went home that night and took every passage about the Eucharist from John 6 to Matthew, Mark, and Luke to what Paul says about the Eucharist. And you know, he was up all night studying and praying. And at the end of the night, he was a Catholic. He was a Catholic. He believed in the Eucharist. He believed that this was truly the body and blood of Christ. And today, this young man goes to adoration and stays there for 3 or 4 hours and receives the Eucharist every day. I tell you, my friends, Jesus was not kidding when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. We need to know this true statement of Jesus. This is the truth. This is the God's truth. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and no one who comes to me will I ever reject. Jesus is not into rejection. He's into giving us eternal life. Eternal life is believing in Jesus. Eternal life is believing in Jesus. This is eternal life, to believe in the one you have sent, and to believe the Father, and to believe in the one he sent. His name is Jesus. Eternal life. It's all about eternal life. Do you have the first fruit of eternal life? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you given him your life? Those are the questions I want to ask. And if you haven't, you say, Lord, I surrender now, because you know what? I want eternal life. I want to be with you forever. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.